Hello and welcome to episode 3 on the Drunk Wiki. I'm Jason and I'm swinging back in with another good episode here. On episode 2 we had the absolute delight of learning all about a comic book character for a good 40 minutes. So I'm happy to be telling you that today's random article is going to be on a guy called Mick Gillette. So we're in for a treat tonight. We're going to kick off with a bit about him, a biography on Mick Gillette, what happened on his death. Unfortunately, he no longer is with us, and his discography. Yep, you're right. When you've had a few, that word is balls hard to fucking say. So we're going to have a look at his albums and his music and just a little bit about him. He's passed away, so it's not the longest of Wikipedias, and we've got nothing else to kind of look forward to in this kind of future of music, so it's going to be a look back at his history and what he achieved. So it's kind of nice and fitting, but we'll see where we go. So Mick Gillette was born May 7th, 1951. And unfortunately, it has down here that he died January 17th, 2016, which I was going to say was only 3, but it's pretty much coming up. It's 4 years ago now. It's the anniversary of his death is next week. And it's kind of why I was trying to be a bit sensitive just a moment ago, is because it's so recent, and you never know who's listening. There might be people listening to this podcast who are huge fans of this guy. So let's crack on. He was an American brass player, born and raised in the South Francisco Bay Area in East Bay. He is best known for being a member of the bands Tower of Power, Cold Blood, and the Sons of Champlin. He played in the horn section with Tower of Power for 19 years. So, there we are. Nice little overview of him and what he did. Let's dive straight into his biography. Let's go straight in, shall we? His father, Ray Gillette, was a trombonist, playing with acts such as Harry James, Tommy Dorsey, Stan Kenton, and other big bands. A child prodigy, Gillette picked up the trumpet and was reading music by the age of 4. The age of 4. I was eating mud at the age of 4. Christ. At the age of 15, he joined the band that would later be known as Tower of Power, playing various brass instruments for the band, including the trumpet, trombone, baritone horn, and the tuba. Now those are some big fucking horns. The trumpets, I mean, everyone knows what trumpet is, but the tuba and the trombone, they're not small. So this guy's very versatile. He took a brief break from Tower of Power to tour in the 1970s and record with the band Cold Blood. Now, considering he was born in 1951 and he started touring in the 70s, he was only in his 20s. 19 when it first kicked off. He's a very talented young man. Now, he rejoined Tower of Power a year later. It doesn't say what year. I mean, it says he started touring in the 1970s and rejoined a year later, so anyone's guess when that was. And he started opening for Santana and Creedence Clearwater Revival. Now, if I can get my bloody words out. Creedence Clearwater Revival, big rock band from the 1960s. And also, just as a bit of a side note, whilst reading out this paragraph, I almost shit myself, because in the background, I've got Netflix on pause. However, in the top right, when you've got Netflix on pause, it still plays like a little mini trailer, and I had no idea that was playing on in the background. So I saw a movement in the corner of my eye, turned around in my somewhat drunken state, and fucking shit myself. So I'm terribly sorry for kind of ruining the tone of this podcast, but I had to divulge. It's a drunk wiki. It's pretty unconventional. The format is still not solid. The audio quality is far from excellent. The ale is cheap, and so is the company, you fucking degenerates. So let's carry on. Now that I've calmed down, let's go back to it. So yeah, Creedence Clearwater Revival, big rock band from the 60s, and its reputation as a premier horn band grew. Tower of Power toured with Heart, Rod Stewart, and the Rolling Fucking Stones, among others. This guy's big balls. In addition, Gillette appeared on hundreds of recordings as a session player. Jesus Christ. I need a drink. Jesus. So, I've never heard of this guy before. And he's rubbing shoulders with Rod Stewart and Rolling Stones. Bloody hell. Anyway. Moving on. So, in 1984, when he's only 33 years old, Gillette quit touring to be a full-time father to his daughter Megan. So this guy, throughout his bloody, for his whole life, up until 33, this guy's been living the dream. He's been a rock star, pretty much. There's no pretty much about it. He's a rock star. I mean, we have down here, the genres that he covered was funk, soul, and East Bay Grease. But, truly, the life of a rock star. So, yeah, he quit touring to be a full-time father to his daughter Megan, which, very respectable. He's obviously earned a good living and has enough time and money to do so, and I think that's brilliant. Now, we're jumping ahead a bit here, because down here we have, in 1998, shortly after joining the Sons of Champlin, he missed one of their concerts due to a split lip. According to Gillette himself, he had split his lip due to not playing for 14 years after leaving Tower of Power. He spent those years running a landscaping business in the South Francisco Bay Area. In 1998, he returned to music. So, that 14-year gap, when he became a full-time father, he actually wasn't a full-time father. He was running a landscaping business. Well, so we don't know how accurate that was, but either way, he got into landscaping after music. But that's crazy. Imagine being a rock star, rubbing shoulders with Rod Stewart and such, and then just kicking back, dialing it down, you know, spending time with family, landscaping. It's crazy. I mean, I suppose there's plenty of people who are in the opposite situation, you know. Their life has become monotonous, 9 to 5, you know. And they want to be rock stars. So it's quite interesting to see when that's flipped. And, you know, when the shoe is on the other foot, it's something that person craves, is normality. Where someone who's surrounded by it craves the opposite. I think it just reaffirms that kind of adage that, you know, we want what we don't have. And, no, fair play. He's obviously had his fun. And used his talents and wants to have a family. I think that's very fair enough. So we move further down here. It says that he was an outstanding brass player with a great range and a funky style. Gillette played with, and I'm going to butcher the hell out of this, so I'm really sorry, Marcin Kiewicz, Rembrandt Model SC3X.351 large bore trumpet. And a King 3B trombone with an F attachment. He also played with a Pan American E-flat tuba and an Olds 3-valve baritone. He used and endorsed Marcin Kiewicz mouthpieces on all of his equipment. Now, if I have nailed that, hurrah, but I haven't. We all know I haven't. I've butchered that fucking name. And I apologise, so please feel free to Wikipedia this guy, Google him, and then look down and see what mouthpieces he used on his equipment. Because I've definitely butchered that. Right, I'm going in for some more beer. And we're going to look further on now, and we can see that Gillette was a member of the Sons of Champlin, up until 2006 when he departed. So he's getting on now, you know, he's lived two lifetimes, you know, lifetime as a musician, full time. Then when he was 33, he in 84, he decided to be a full-time father. So what, he's now 55 now. And he departed in 2006 when he was 55, and fronted by Chicago vocalist and keyboardist Bill Champlin. He had also a member of Tortilla Soup, a 10-piece Northern California band. He played with comedian Danny Morano, the Stevie Keys Roseman All-Star Band, the Strokeland Super Band, and Funky Loophole, Gillette's own band. He toured and recorded with the Doobie Brothers, appearing on the Doobies' Live at Wolfstrap DVD, Blood, Sweat and Tears, and Santana. After a 25-year absence, Gillette rejoined Tower of Power, fuck yeah, in August 2009, when he was, what, 58, he started touring, replacing Mike Bogart, but he left the band again after just more than a year and a half in February 14, 2011. I mean, mate, you're coming up to 60, fair play, you've come through. I mean, we know a lot of band members, you know, Ozzy Osbourne and members of Kiss are like 1,000 years old. But great, absolutely great. I mean, big fans of this guy are going to be fucking loving it. He came back swinging, 25, quarter of a century comeback, and he's rebuilt Tower of Power, gone on tour for a year and a half, kicked some ass, blown some brass. Amazing. In the last years of his life, Gillette continued to do session work as well as live appearances, fulfilling a long-term dream to assemble his own band. He brought together Megan Gillette McCarthy, his daughter, Greg Barker, Dave Hawkes, Clint Day, and Matt Martinez to create the Mick Gillette Band, the MGB. Gillette spent much of his time teaching, doing clinics at middle schools and high schools. He was the music director and taught clinic at Northgate High School at Walnut Creek, California, and taught music classes at Stanley Middle School at Lafayette, California. He raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for music departments in schools across the United States. So, I mean, it speaks volumes now of this man. You know, his commitment to music from a young age and his talent, his wisdom to step back and focus on family, and then following that, to have the balls to go back into music after such a long absence. I mean, we're talking a 25-year absence, okay? That's almost my entire life. It's a hell of a feat. I mean, the anxiety, the stress, but also the joy of going back to something he loved, you know. And he's obviously gone and been very productive in the schools and, you know, taught clinics, raised hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, what we've got here is a complete opposite of the Hallian character that we talked in episode 2. We've got someone who isn't fictional, someone who's not a dick, someone who's pure, someone who's worked for something. I mean, it's quite a nice contrast, actually. If you've been listening to episode 2 and you're jumping straight into episode 3, it's quite a nice contrast, actually. And if we just move down here, it goes on to his death, unfortunately. Gillette died on January 17th, 2016, of a heart attack, aged 64. He was survived by his wife Julia and his daughter Megan Gillette McCarthy. And that's all they have there. And I think that's all we need. We don't need the details. We don't need to pry. And it's a young aged 64. It's a very, very young age. I think, you know, heart attacks, whilst we're here, whilst we're talking about it, can leap up and take you whatever age you are. Just a little bit of trivia for you. I ran the Cardiff Half Marathon last year, 2019. I have many friends who have run the Cardiff Half Marathon, you know, far fitter than I am, running it in better times. But despite that, in the past, previous runners who have also run it in excellent times and have been in excellent fitness and have only been in their 20s or 30s, you know, peak years, and have just dropped to the floor and died. Their heart has just given out. There's been no signs of anything. Unless, of course, you actually have a test looking for such. And, yeah, it's just get your shit checked out, basically. It's the sort of thing that can jump up and take you whenever. And it's not prejudiced. It's not biased. It doesn't look at creed or colour. It's, and obviously has no prejudice against age. So whether you're, you know, eating a healthy diet, running, or whether you're smoking and eating crap all day, get yourself checked out. Just go to the doctors and have an MOT, because you just never know. You never know. And what the hell are you going to lose? You know, take a half day from work. And I mean, it's easy to kind of just dismiss it. It really is. When things are going fine, why fix if it isn't broken? But, you know, we're talking about pride here, and I could chat all night about that. And the next part of the Wikipedia page talks about his discography. I don't know if that sounds right. Again, I'm four beers in, and unfortunately, because I don't drink that often, I'm going to take another swig. Because I don't drink that often, I'm very behaved, alcohol seems to have a more profound effect on me. What that means is, it's cheaper and healthier in many ways. So yeah, we're looking at his band albums. He was featured on Hip Little Dreams, a disc of originals released by the Sons of Chaplin in 2005, so we're looking at his mature records here, and appeared on the Doobie Brothers Live at Wolf Trap DVD. Bit of wind coming up again, we don't want to get that on the auto, do we? Gillette worked on various side projects. After a chance meeting with Tony Adama, anyway, I'm really struggling with that, Gillette wrote the horn arrangements for Adoma's albums Straight Up Deal and Dance of Love. His arrangements can be heard on Adoma's tunes No Strings, Up In It and Groovy Therapy. Gillette also performed with vocalist Josh Pfeiffer, I hope it's Pfeiffer, in Northern California with an 8-piece group featuring guitarist David Schramm and keyboard player Kent Gripenstraw. I mean, for fuck's sake. I mean, I'm just going to stop you there. It's almost like this Wikipedia page knows that I'm going to be drinking and having significant difficulty pronouncing these surnames. Look at this. It's an absolute clusterfuck of consonants. Anyway, he is included on the Cold Blood album. I mean, Sisyphus? I'm going to be honest. I saw syphilis, that's all I saw. Syphilis, 1970, playing trombone, trumpet and flugelhorn. Flugelhorn? I think that's what that said. Good grief. Anyway, he's got a nice long list of sober albums here. We're looking at things like, I mean, look at this. Funky Good Time, the intro song on Gillette, Mick Gillette's Ear Candy, 2005. Look at this. Great names. And that's it. That's the end of the article. It's a bit of a short one, actually. Bit like episode one of the podcast, really. So, yeah. Mick Gillette. An American brass player. Born and raised in San Francisco's East Bay. Born May 7th, 1951. Died January 17th, 2016. Just 64 years old. Was known for his funk, soul, and East Bay grease. And he rubbed shoulders with the greats. Played for many, many years, then lived as a family man, as a landscaper. And then he came back to music, revived the band, did a year and a half tour in his older years, and did what he could for schools. I mean, He may have died young, but he definitely did much with his life that many of us would be envious of. So, it's actually a pretty nice article to fall upon, actually. So I'm pretty happy with that. I'm glad I've learned that. I mean, and that's kind of the whole point of this podcast, really, is learning something new. That's why I'm hitting the random and I'm not looking through. I'm clicking the random article, and of course, if there's only a few sentences or it's a reference piece, I'm skipping it. But the second I hit random article and I come across something with several paragraphs and some structure, whatever the subject, gonna read it. And you know, it's been good so far. Even if the other character in the episode 2 is a bit of a dick, here we are. So that was Mick Gillette, and this is the end of episode 3. So again, thanks for tuning in and listening. We're going to keep working on this and just tightening up that structure and getting used to doing the podcasts and just pumping out some more episodes for you to listen to. So again, thank you for listening, and good night.